Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here on NoVam Radio. I hope you had a great weekend. We're here to screw up the last week before the election for you. How are we going to do that? I don't know, just by reporting on the madness that's out there and talking about it. The madness is coming from not just the McCain-Palin Express, but also from peripheral elements of this sick, degenerate Republican campaign. It's incredible, isn't it? We have a big chunk o' sound for you tonight. They're going to play in little edible bites from McCain being interviewed by Tom Brokaw on Meet the Press on Sunday. Plus what a freakish interviewer at a television station in Orlando who had an opportunity to interview Joe Biden and just sat there because her husband is a Republican operative. The woman who was working as an anchor, she's really a health reporter, sat there and went right off the list of Republican talking points as though she had gotten it FedEx to her by Rush Limbaugh. Then it turns out her husband is a Republican operative. Thank goodness Joe Biden is Joe Biden, because he treated it with a kind of contemptuous humor that it deserved. But we're going to play that for you, too. This caught my eye over the weekend. I think it was on Saturday. The New York Times asked a question: who is the highest paid individual in John McCain's presidential campaign during the first half of October? And then they give you a bunch of choices. Well, you're going to get them wrong. It was Amy Strozzi, the traveling makeup artist for the lipstick pig woman from the hoe from Wasilla. Amy Strozzi, the traveling makeup artist. Now, Miss Strozzi, I don't know if you're really a film buff, you might know her, or a television buff. She is the She was nominated for an Emmy Award for her makeup work on So You Think You Can Dance program. She was paid $22,800 on October 10th. Not bad for 10 days' work. Knock off 3 or 4 days for weekends. Holy Jesus. That's according to a filing on last Thursday, with the Federal Election Commission. The campaign, the McCain-Palin campaign categorized the payment as, quote, personnel service / equipment. Really? Now, in addition to that, Angela Liu, Ms. Palin's traveling hairstylist, according to New York Times, received $10,390 for communications consulting on October 3. A $10,000 hair makeup? Holy Christ, I could get an implant. I could get a hair implant for that.
Biden, I think, already did.
I think Biden did. Ms. Liu is based at Hair Grove in Westlake Village, California. The salon that also reportedly employs Cindy McCain, the snake woman's hairstylist, whatever. $10,000? On September 22nd, Ms. Strozzi, the makeup artist, was paid $13,200 also for communications consulting, and the hairdresser collected another $8,825 on September 17th for what the campaign said in its report was get out the vote consulting. It's astonishing. But she's of the people. That's Sarah Palin. She just, hockey mom, drives around a goddamn dump truck, right? Has cow dung under fingernails. $150,000 for the Saks and Neiman clothing. And now this? $10,300 to a hairstylist on October 3rd. 2 weeks before that, $8,800 to the same hairstylist. $22,800 on October 10th to a makeup artist. And another $13,000 on September 22nd to the makeup artist. Oh, man. You got to give it to Palin. Somebody should anyway. She has figured out how to scam things. Hot damn! You got, man, Republicans got to love this woman, right? Hell yeah! $150,000 on clothes, another $50,000 on hair and makeup. Hot damn! Woo! Got to love her, right? Spread the wealth, my ass. No, just keep it right there with the hairdresser and the. And the clothing thingy, whatever. And then there was this. There was a new email message making the rounds among Jewish voters in Pennsylvania last week that falsely alleged that Barack Obama, quote, taught members of ACORN to commit voter registration fraud, end quote. And this email equated a vote for Barack Obama with the tragic mistake of the voters' Jewish ancestors who ignored the warning signs in the 30s and 40s, end quote. So if you vote for Barack Obama by innuendo, what this hate-filled, vomitous email is suggesting, a vote for email means that you will go to the death camps. You will go, if you're a Jew, you will go to the death camps. If you vote for Barack Obama, remember what happened in the 30s and 40s. You will go to the death camps. You will be burned. You will go to the crematoria if you vote for Barack Obama. Death camps. Barack Obama. Sons of bitches. Now, you would think it would be some right-wing shill group of real psychopaths who don't like Jews or people of color and are seeing this as a wonderful opportunity to divide and conquer. You'd be wrong. It was sponsored by Pennsylvania Republican Party's Victory 2008 Committee. Can you goddamn believe this? The Pennsylvania Republican Party puts out an email that suggests a vote for Barack Obama will send the Jews to a death camp. Nice, huh? It was signed by several prominent McCain supporters in the state. Mitchell Morgan, a top fundraiser. Sandra Schwartz Newman, a member of Mr. McCain's National Task Force monitoring Election Day voting, and I, Michael Koslov, a steel industry executive. They signed it. If you vote for Barack Obama, your children may be put in a cattle car and sent to a death camp that is being constructed even as we speak, where you will be burned alive and your children executed. You filthy. This is astonishing, isn't it? As for comment about the email, leaders of the state party repudiated it on Friday. Oh, we repudiated. Well, you know, it was released without our authorization. And you know, we fired the person who helped draft it. His name was Brian Rudnick. He's gone. A spokesman for Barack Obama said, quote, if they really cared about telling the truth, they'd send the same list that this went to, an email debunking their own lies, end quote. I've never seen anything like this. I really haven't. I really have never seen anything like this. To the Jewish voters in Pennsylvania, John McCain hates you so much. And his pig woman from Wasilla, the two of them, and the Republican Party hate you so much. They will invoke images of the Holocaust in order to influence your vote. I will be goddamned. Astonishing. McCain Palin hates Jews so deeply. Well, we know Palin does. I just didn't think McCain did. To the extent that they will send out information designed to call up images of the Holocaust, piles of naked, emaciated, burned bodies in order to influence the votes of Jews in Pennsylvania. My God.
Let's go party. Come on, Barbie, let's go party. Come on, Barbie, let's go party. Come on, Barbie, let's go party.
I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world. That's plastic, fantastic. You can brush my hair, I'm dressy everywhere. Imagination, that is your creation. I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world. That's plastic, fantastic. You can brush my hair, I'm dressy everywhere. Imagination, that is your creation.
Come on, Barbie, let's go party.
Yeah.
Come on, Barbie, let's go party.
In doing things like working really, really hard to get a natural gas pipeline, about a $30 billion project.
Oh, really? 21 past the hour. Well, let's take a look at that. This was Associated Press did a little investigative reporting over the weekend. They came up with this. Governor Sarah Palin's signature accomplishment, that contract to build the 1,700-mile pipeline to bring natural gas from Alaska to the lower 48, you know, the one that she invokes the name of God in order to accomplish. The whole thing, according to the investigative writers at the Associated Press, emerged from a what is euphemistically referred to as a flawed bidding process that narrowed the field to a company with ties to her administration. No, really? Now, what did they just convict Ted Stevens of? Oh, beginning at the Republican National Convention back in August, according to the AP, the McCain-Palin ticket has touted the pipeline as an example of how it would help America achieve energy independence. During the October 2nd vice presidential debate, quote, quote, Palin said, quote, "We're building a nearly $40 billion natural gas pipeline, which is North America's largest and most expensive infrastructure project ever, to flow those sources of energy into hungry markets." Now, despite the lipstick pig woman's boast of a smart and fair bidding process, the Associated Press found that her team crafted terms that favored only a few independent pipeline companies and ultimately benefited the winner, TransCanada Corporation. And contrary to all the lies, there's no guarantee the pipeline will ever be built, first of all. At a minimum, any project, even the beginning of this, is years away because TransCanada must first overcome major financial and regulatory hurdles. Gee, I wonder what the financial hurdles are. In interviews and a review of records, the Associated Press found the following. Instead of creating a process that would attract many potential builders, Governor Palin slanted the terms away from an important group, the global energy giants that own the rights to the gas. Despite promises and legal guidance not to talk directly with potential bidders, Palin had meetings or phone calls with nearly every major candidate, including TransCanada. The leader of Palin's pipeline team had been a partner at a lobbying firm where she worked, a lobbyist, on behalf of a TransCanada subsidiary. Also, that woman's former business partner at the lobbying firm was TransCanada's lead private lobbyist on the pipeline deal, interacting with legislators in the weeks before the vote to grant TransCanada the contract. Plus, a former TransCanada executive served as an outside consultant to Palin's pipeline team. Under a different set of rules 4 years earlier, TransCanada had offered to build the pipeline without a state subsidy. Under Governor Palin, the company would receive a maximum of $500 million. Oh, no. This can't be right. This must be left-wing nonsense. Why, I haven't seen any of this on Wolf Blitzer's Situation Room or ABC, CBS, or NBC. I haven't even seen this on Keith Olbermann's program. What in the world is going on here? Could this all be nonsense? You mean to tell me that Governor Palin tried to jigger the bidding process on a multi-billion, how does she put it, the biggest construction project in the history of the world? You mean she tried to affect the outcome so that the contract would go to a certain company? I wonder why. Let me think why. Let's see. She and her husband are goddamn thieves? Well, there's something that should be taken a look at, right? Boy, you know, I'll bet you Sarah Palin is molto pissed offo that she was selected to run as the vice president on John McCain's toy ticket. Because now she comes under scrutiny, including her snake-handling religion. And as usual with the snake handlers, they're also liars, con artists, cheat snakes, and are going straight to hell the instant they suck in their last breath. If there were such a place, you know what I'm saying. Sarah Palin, major con artist. Wow. Multi-billion dollar pipeline. What was it going to cost? $70 billion? A trillion? A quadrillion, 40 billion, 16 septillion, octillion, nonillion. Who cares? As long as Sarah and the first dude get their cut. Yeah? Huh? Little Vig on the side. You know, we do things different up here in Alaska. We sure do. Okay, well, we'll surely see this on the news tomorrow, won't we, True Seekers? Huh? We will surely see this. Sarah Palin's time, we'll surely see it.
Have the ammo to negotiate with Putin. Are you on coke? This country's up in smoke. Oh, what a joke. Oh, if you become VP, oh, what will it mean for me? Oh, if you become VP, oh, what will it mean for me?
Ticket to the bridge.
Just because I can see the moon doesn't make me an astronaut. You and your foreign policy expertise is poo.
Done in unifying people and companies to get that gas line built. So pray for that, and we can work together to make sure God's will be done here.
You hypocritical bitch. I mean, unbelievable. I have no use for religious superstition to begin with, but it's astonishing to me that the hypocrisy is so deep and abiding, and it seems to me that so much of it resides in the Christian faith, in both Protestantism and Catholicism. I'm astonished by it. I don't need to get into the words of Christ, suffer little children to come unto me, and then you have Catholic priests for the past 200 years or 300 or 2,000 who've been systematically sexually abusing children. I mean, it's insane to me. The whole thing is insane. All of it is insane. But for Sarah Palin to invoke the name of God in front of her snake-handling church-goers for a pipeline, that she and her husband have worked the angles and have established a little, AP doesn't say it, but you know goddamn good and well why it's been directed to TransCanada Corporation. You know as well as I do, because the Palins will get an enormous kickback if this ever goes through. And what did McCain say the other day? We've got the sound. I'm going to play it for you. But she is something about Palin is... from the working class. She and her husband have a net worth of over $1.2 million. I am so goddamn sick of these Republicans. I hope they sink beneath a wave of Barack Obama votes and just disappear. Just go away. All of you, go away, you stinking, lying hypocrites. Lord have mercy. A little bit more. Palin's team on this pipeline thing was led by somebody named Marty Rutherford, a widely respected energy specialist who entered the upper levels of state government nearly 20 years ago. And Marty Rutherford solidified her status when in 2005 she joined an exodus from the Department of Natural Resources staff in Alaska. Now, what the Palin administration didn't tell the legislators in Alaska, and a neglected to mention in its announcement of Rutherford's appointment, was that in 2003, Rutherford left public service and worked for 10 months at the Anchorage-based Jade North lobbying firm. There, she did $40,000 worth of work for Foothills Pipelines Alaska Incorporated, a subsidiary of, well, I'll be damned, TransCanada. And it goes on. This is too complicated to do on the air. I will link it. You can take a look at it. You will see for yourself. Once again, this swinish, Sarah Palin and her punk-ass husband standing out there acting like they are the saviors of America. And what they are is just two more major Republican lying, hypocritical con artists. It never stops with these people. Never. Now, how bad is it? Well, let's listen to this. WFTV, Channel 9 in Orlando. A woman acting as the anchorwoman on a newscast interview with Joe Biden. Her name is Barbara West. She wanted to talk to Joe Biden about Obama's attention to spread the wealth. She compared Obama's comments to Karl Marx. And then she asked Biden, how is Senator Obama not being a Marxist if he intends to spread the wealth? God damn these people. Would this blonde bitch talk about Jesus was a communist because he fed the multitudes with his basket of loaves and fishes? Wasn't that spreading wealth? What did Jesus do? He went to the fishermen, a couple of whom were trying to follow his simple message. And he said, give me some loaves and fishes. I'm going to do a miracle. And they said, okay, here you go, Jesus. So he took from the people that had fish and he gave to the people that didn't. Was Jesus a communist? Was Jesus a Marxist? Jesus also said, if you really want to be a Christian, if you really want to get involved in my message, give away everything you own. Take up your cross, metaphorically speaking, because I haven't been crucified yet, and follow me. Give away everything you... Is that Marxism, you crazy Republican bastard Jew? Is it, especially you religious freaks who claim to be Christians? You wouldn't know Christ if he came up to you and said, hey, got a place I can spend the night? So let's listen. Let's listen to a fundamentalist Christian. Oh, by the way, her husband is a Republican operative, a paid consultant to do media specialty work. The blonde bimbo you're about to hear. Now, I've got the whole video at MikeMalloy.com in my daily blog. You can take a look at this wide-eyed fruitcake, and you decide yourself whether or not she deserves to be in front of a camera. Listen to this. The questions are outrageous. This pasty white Barbie wannabe is, you know what she's really doing? She's auditioning for Fox News. At least she gave Biden some time to clarify some of the smear that the McCain-Palin camp has attempted over the last few weeks. Somebody gave this to her and said, here, read this. And you can tell because she just sits there. And normally these hatchet bastards don't give the victim, in this case Joe Biden, time to answer. You ready with this? All right, let's play it.
Aren't you embarrassed by the blatant attempts to register phony voters by Acorn, an organization that Barack Obama has been tied to in the past?
I am not embarrassed by it. We are not tied to it. We've not paid them one single penny to register a single solitary voter. We have the best get-out-the-vote operation in modern American history. We registered the voters ourselves, and so there is no relationship. I'm embarrassed for anybody in Acorn who went out there and registered somebody who shouldn't be registered, but I'm not embarrassed because of our campaign. We haven't paid Acorn a single penny to register a single voter.
But in the past, Senator Obama was a community organizer for Acorn. He was an attorney for Acorn.
Oh, my God.
And certainly in the Senate, he has been a benefactor for Acorn.
Oh, yeah?
How has he been a benefactor for Acorn? He was this organizer. John McCain stood before Acorn not long ago, complimenting him on the great work they did. Does that make John McCain complicitous in any mistake Acorn made? Come on, let's get real here.
Okay, moving on to the next question.
Yeah, okay.
Senator Obama now famously told Joe the Plumber he wanted to spread his wealth around. A Gallup poll showed 84% of Americans prefer government focus on improving economic conditions and creating more jobs in the U.S. as opposed to taking steps to distribute wealth. Isn't Senator Obama's comment a potentially crushing political blunder?
Absolutely.
Crushing
not.
Political
the only
blunder?
The person who spread the wealth around has been George Bush and John McCain's tax policy. They have devastated the middle class. We, for the first time since the late 20s, 1% of the American people make over 21% of all the income in America. That wasn't the way before George Bush became president. All we want is the middle class to once again have a fighting chance. That's why we focus all of our efforts on restoring the middle class and giving them a tax break. And John McCain doubles down on Bush's tax cut and adds $300 billion in new tax cuts for the largest corporations in America and the wealthiest Americans. We don't think that's the way to do it. We think give the middle class a break. That's the way to do it.
You may recognize this famous quote, from each according to his abilities, to each according to his needs. That's from Karl Marx.
Really?
How is Senator Obama not being a Marxist if he intends to spread the wealth around?
Are you joking? Is this a joke?
No.
Or is that a real question?
That's a question.
He is not spreading the wealth around. He's talking about giving the middle class an opportunity to get back the tax breaks they used to have. What has happened? Just this year, people making $1.4 million average, the top 1%, good, decent American people, are going to get a new $87 billion tax cut, a new one on top of last year. We think the people should be getting that tax break or not continue to redistribute the wealth up. We think middle-class taxpayers should get a tax break. That's what we think. It's a ridiculous comparison, with all due respect.
Now, you recently said, mark my words, it'll not be 6 months before the world tests Barack Obama. But what worries many people is your caveat, asking them to stand with him because it's not going to be apparent initially that he's right. Are you forewarning Americans that nothing will be done and that America's days as the world's leading power are over?
Oh, no, I'm not at all. I don't know who's writing your questions, but let me make it clear to you. The fact of the matter is that everyone has acknowledged from Colin Powell on that the next president of the United States is going to be tested, whether it's John McCain and or it's Barack Obama. The reason is our weakened position in the world. We're stretched thin throughout the world. Our economy's in free fall right now, and they're going to be tested. Every president is tested. And the point I was making is Barack Obama is much better prepared to handle whatever crisis it's going to be than John McCain, because John was wrong in Iraq, saying we'd be greeted as liberators, we'd be out of there, wrong in Afghanistan, saying we've already succeeded, wrong in North Korea.
She doesn't hear you, Joe.
Barack Obama's been right. John McCain's been wrong. That was my point. Barack Obama is more ready than John McCain.
Getting back to the spreading the wealth question, what do you say to the people who are concerned that Barack Obama will want to turn America into a socialist country much like Sweden?
Oh, God.
I don't know anybody who thinks that except the far right wing of the Republican Party.
Okay, Senator Biden, thank you very much.
Oh, my God! And you wonder what is wrong, why, I'm talking to myself here, and you wonder, Malloy, why the voting public in this country is half-witted and half-assed and half-dead and half-stupid? It's because you have bitches like this sitting in front of a camera asking these kinds of questions, and you can tell who wrote them because of the way they're phrased. blatant attempts to register phony voters. Woo! Crushing political blunder. How is Senator Obama not being a Marxist? America's days as the world's leader might be over. Obama will want to turn America into a socialist country. Who wrote this stuff, huh? Honest John the Commie wrote it, right? No! Her husband! Her husband! Her husband!
Men and women, our leaders, our national leaders, are sending them out on a task that is from God. Bless them with your prayers.
Yeah, and get me the pipeline, Jesus, please. Okay. Going back to the Channel 9 Eyewitness News, Orlando, WFTV, little freakoid Barbara West with, you know, it's one thing to ask loaded questions, but it's something else, again, to at least have the backup, the firepower. If you're going to try to gut Joe Biden with asinine questions, okay, we kind of expect that now, don't we, people? But if you're going to do that, at least be able to back up what you're saying with more slander or step on his tongue. Don't let him answer. And this crazy Barbara West just sat there reading the talking points handed to her by her husband. So, you know, the first one where she says, aren't you embarrassed by the blatant attempts to register phony voters by Acorn? And again, before the break, I pointed out you can see the Limbaugh language, the Republican National Committee talking points language in the way this unconscious bitch phrased her questions. But as far as blatant attempts to register phony voters, look, I mean, how to say this? How to say this? Acorn's voter registration drive, which this year has enrolled 1.3 million new voters from low-income communities, has not been shown to result in one single fraudulently cast ballot. Not one. Out of 1.3 million new voters from low-income communities. Not one. Now, as in the current issue of The Nation, Andrew Gumbel, on page 16, writing about Acorn's registration drives, he adds, in fact, it is the Republican Party that threatens not just the fabric of democracy, but the very thread from which it is woven. The basic premise that every eligible citizen can vote, and every eligible vote is counted. Now, how have they done that? Well, you know, if you've been paying attention, voter ID laws, all of a sudden, after 232 years, God damn it, we've got to have photo ID cards.
Why is that?
Because we want to make sure that the people voting are really the people voting.
But, it's never really been a problem before, except when the Democrats and the Republicans both have, you know, made dead people vote. But, you know, that's just part of the wonderful fun of democracy. Everyone has to have a photo ID.
Yes! That's called the Help America Vote Act. How about the purge lists and all these other maneuvers that Republicans use to challenge the legitimacy of millions of voters in, where, Vermont? No. Wyoming? No. Alaska? No. Where? The so-called swing states, Florida, Michigan, Virginia, Ohio. And McCain has claimed that Acorn, his words, quote, forced banks to issue the risky home loans. What? That caused the financial crisis. And that is destroying the fabric of democracy by perpetrating one of the greatest frauds in voter history. Acorn fought the predatory lending practices responsible for this subprime mess. Fought it. There is not a shred of truth in anything. Anything. That comes out of the mouth of John McCain, this deranged mass war, a killer war criminal, or the lipstick pig from Wasilla, Alaska. Nothing. Nothing. Which is not, I mean, that's not counter to the usual Republican MO. Republican office holders or wannabes cannot. They are genetically programmed to be unable to tell the truth. They are liars and hypocrites, every single one of them. Spread the wealth. Well, let's get Jesus and execute him. Oh, wait, we already did that. The loaves and fishes. How many examples do these right-wing religious hypocrites need to get it through their dumbass heads that Jesus was a communist? He was an absolute, total communist. From each according to his ability, to each according to his need. It was so simple 2,000 years ago, wasn't it, Jesus, huh? Until these freakish followers who have prostituted your name and turned you into nothing but another whore. Until they got a hold of you. It was so easy, wasn't it? Here, give me the basket with the fish. Miracle one. Okay, give me the bread. Okay, well, actually, miracle too. That's communism, you dumbasses. It is 7 past the hour. Now, I hate hypocrites. I will use vile language right up to the limit that the FCC allows. I hate hypocrites. They turn my stomach. They're worse than liars. I also hate liars. I hate cowards. Cowards, hypocrites, liars. I don't care if it's a TV news anchor, a Republican nominee to be president of the United States, a former Secretary of State. You know, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care who it is. Hypocrites, liars, and cowards. They're scum. Absolute scum. So when you tune into this program, you know, put on your asbestos suit or whatever and keep the kids away. You know, I'm not here to be, you know, Tom Hartman or Randy Rhodes or Peter B. Collins or anybody else. I'm not. If my language offends you, if the ferocity that I say certain things offends you, you have a billion other venues to choose from. But But if you're going to come here, if you're going to come here, come forewarned. This ain't Beanbag. John McCain on Press the Meat on Sunday with Tom Brokaw. Let's do some of this. Let's start out with a question from Brokaw. How does John like his plunging poll numbers? Well, if you believe old crazy McCain, he likes him just fine, thank you. He thinks he's like Reagan or the Gipper or Newt Rockne or any number of old dead white people that 80% of the audience never heard of. The Gipper? What does that mean? Newt Rockne? Is that a town in Indiana? Brokaw says, I don't have the most encouraging news for you today from the NBC News Mason-Dixon poll here in Iowa. It now shows that Obama has the lead of 11 points, 51 to 40. 4 years ago, as you know, George Bush won this state. It's been determined a battleground state, but the lead has been widening for Senator Obama right along the way. I know you're a film buff, so let me begin with a film metaphor. Do you feel more like Kevin Costner in Field of Dreams, or like George Clooney at the tiller of the ship in A Perfect Storm?
I think that I could draw my own, and I'd have to think of it. Maybe the Gipper. I feel like when
what?
I feel like Newt Rockne at halftime when he said, "We'll go out there and get one for the Gipper." And look, those polls have consistently shown me much further behind than we actually are.
Really?
And I see these polls ranging from a 3-point gap today in Zogby to your 11-point one, and they're all over the map. And obviously, I choose to trust my senses as well as polls.
Your senses?
The fact is that I have
What senses that you think you can trust? Your ability to see? Your ability to think? Your ability to taste, smell, what senses? He says those polls have been consistently shown me much further behind than we actually are. How do you know you're not as far behind as the polls claim? Isn't that the only purpose of the polls, you moron, to indicate who's supporting a candidate in a given race? I mean, I'm not saying all polls agree, Crazy McCain. I'm just saying, if you do a poll, isn't that a snapshot? Isn't that what it is? Oh, Christ. Never mind. All right. Now, Brokaw then played the following clips of McCain aligning himself with Bush. And then Brokaw asked him about the hypocrisy of McCain now trying to pretend he's some kind of maverick when he's voted with Bush policies 92% of the time. Brokaw began with this, and then he played two clips. Here's the question, and then you'll hear McCain's clips from 2 years, 3 years ago. Senator, in the last of the presidential debates, moderated by Bob Schieffer, you drew greater distinction between yourself and George Bush. You said, I'm not George Bush. But then we have an account of you on Meet the Press going back to June of 2005.
The fact is that I have agreed with President Bush far more than I have disagreed. And on the transcendent issues, the most important issues of our day, I have been totally in agreement and support of President Bush. So I strongly disagree with any assertion that I've been more at odds with the President of the United States than I have been in agreement with.
Really?
Well, I'm very honored and humbled to have the opportunity to receive the endorsement of the President of the United States, a man who I have great admiration, respect, and affection. I intend to have as much possible campaigning events and together.
Senator McCain, both in tone and language, you are very close to President Bush in those appearances. The Congressional Quarterly did a review of your votes. 92% of the time you voted with President Bush. So it's a little hard for the public to separate you from this administration, isn't it?
Well, it may be the way you describe it. I am a Republican. I respect the President of the United States. Of course we let spending get completely out of control, and I've been talking about it for a long period of time.
Oh, good.
Now, I know how it is on this show. You show various segments and comments that we make thousands of, and I understand that. But the fact is, I am not George Bush.
Yes, you are. Look in the mirror. You're George Bush. You are. You think you're John McCain, but you've had a nervous breakdown. You're George Bush. You've got walnuts stuffed in your cheek. You're George Bush with walnuts stuffed in his cheek. You are George Bush, you moron. What was this line he says? So I strongly disagree with any assertion that I've been more at odds with the President of the United States than I have been in agreement with him. What? Well, that makes you, once again, John, another instance of your being a complete goddamn liar. Just a complete liar. No matter what comes out of your mouth, it's a lie. But then again, you know, career first, country can go screw itself, right? What did he say? We let spending get completely out of control? Well, yeah. But, you know, like you said, you're a Republican, so of course you help wreck the economy. That's what you people do. That's what you do, John. How many instances do you have to have? We don't have to go back to Hoover. We really don't. Let's just go back to Reagan Bush 1. There was a train wreck. Let's just go to today. Here's a train wreck. This is what Republicans do. What you can't screw up, you pee all over. You people are just unbelievable. You're destroyers. But you want people to vote for you. And you know what, John? You're probably going to get, 30, 40 million votes. A lot of crazy people in America. I like this bit. Now, I know how it is on this show and all the rest of your shows. You know, you got various segments and comments that, and your damn fancy technology of tapes and wires and things. And, you know, I don't know what's going on. Where'd you find that? I say that, but the fact remains, I'm not George Bush. Yes, you are. You're George Bush with walnuts in your cheek. You are. You're like a little chipmunk. You are George Bush. You fell asleep, George, and you had this dream that you were a Navy pilot. Remember, you were in the Texas Air National Guard? You fell asleep, and you thought you were... And you, this whole thing came up, and now you walk around with walnuts in your cheek and flapping your arms and pretending like the beer heiress is your old lady. George, wake up. Wake up. You got a country to destroy. Oh, my God, these people. More McCain when we come back. Oh, don't leave. Don't leave. Wait till you hear what he says next.
Great destiny. You guys are all a bunch of cool-looking Christians also. I just want to bless you
and get you to pray for that pipeline, because, you know, God might be busy with a bunch of third worlders today, and you know, first dude and I, we've got a real interest. Oh, Rob in Central Florida just sent me this. I'll play it for you next, a little bit later here. It's the same bubble-headed bleach blonde on the TV station interviewing McCain about a week before the Biden interview. Wait till you hear that. Anyway, back to Press the Meat with Tom Brokaw. This little back and forth is a world of fun because instead of answering the question, McCain here just argues about whether or not he agrees with the poll numbers Brokaw is now quoting. Now, that's a heck of a strategy, right? McCain can't respond to the question because he doesn't agree with the polls. He can't respond to the question because he doesn't agree with the polls or apparently the voting public. This is how this segment starts. Brokaw says, Senator, this is the latest NBC News Wall Street Journal poll that was taken from October 17th to October 20th. On health care, who's better equipped to deal with that? Obama has a 39-point advantage over you in that poll. As you can see, he has an advantage of 21 points where it concerns the economy. The housing crisis, 21-point advantage. Taxes, 14-point advantage. These are not the pundits or the media elite, Senator. This is a broad-based poll across the country.
I don't agree with their conclusion that I'm, quote, 11 or 12 or 14 points, whatever it is. We have polls. Ogbe poll showing us 3 or 4 points behind.
Blah.
So if you want to continue to referring to a poll that I disagree with, I have to start out our conversation. I don't agree with that.
We are
closing, and we have been closing.
But it's not the only poll, Senator. A number of polls show that.
And it's not the only poll that shows us close.
So,
I'm sure we don't want to spend the morning arguing about polls that are accurate or inaccurate.
No,
but I stand before the American people with my view that I think that we cannot find small business people and their small business people who have employees without health insurance that he's going to find them if they don't have the insurance policy that they want.
Oh God!
That Senator Obama wants them to have.
I don't want to dwell on these polls unduly, but even if you had a big margin of error,
I can show you a Zogby poll and our poll and other polls that will show different numbers than the one you're showing.
But those are the big universe polls.
You're starting out, in all due respect, with fundamental assumptions that I don't agree with. So it's hard for me to respond to assumptions that I don't agree with.
Really? Well, that shouldn't be too hard. I mean, you don't agree with taxing the wealthy, and you have no problem with responding to that assumption. You don't agree with the idea of universal health care, but you don't have any problem responding to that assumption. What assumption is it, you old rat bastard, that you can't agree to? Oh, the poll numbers. That's right. That's right. The poll numbers. Now, what's this? Obama is going to fine them, the small business people who have employees without health insurance, he's going to fine them if they don't have the insurance policy that Obama wants them to have. What? And, of course, Brokaw at that point says, all right, I don't want to draw on these polls unduly. No, Tom, neither do we. What we want you to do is to take what McCain just said and jam his goddamn face in it. What are you talking about? Barack Obama, President of the United States. Oh, and he moonlights as a prudential agent. So if you don't have what Senator Obama wants you to have, he's going to fine you. Oh, not prudential? It's Allstate. Allstate, no, it's not. It's nationwide. You know, you get two sick old bastards like these two sitting on Press the Meat on Sunday morning. After a while, if you're willing to go along with that old theatrical necessity of the willing suspension of disbelief, you start to believe that you're seeing two actual human beings sitting there. One, a respected, quote, news guy, and the other, a respected, quote, senator who's trying to be president. And what are they talking about? They're talking about Obama making people buy insurance that he approves of. God damn. And it just rolls on. It just rolls on. It keeps going. Here's the next one. On the ridiculous charge McCain camp makes, but we're not going to have time for that. All right, we'll do it when we come back. But it's bad enough when you get lying bastards who cloak themselves in their $3,000, $4,000 suits and sit there, I'm Tom Brokaw, and try to pretend like they're respected pundits. And then you have some... Walnut cheek stuffed freak like McCain saying, well, you know, Obama's going to make people buy insurance, and if you don't buy the kind he says, he's going to, I don't know, bite you. No, worse than that. He will order you beaten, tortured. And what's his name? Brokaw just sits there and goes, I don't want to dwell on these polls.
Things in store for the state of Alaska. Let us pray for God's will to be done here. Just, you know, a praying for an outpouring of God's Spirit here, that revival to be here in Alaska.
Yeah, just bring the pipeline, please. God, wake up, God. God! Rich in Farmington, Michigan sent me two video links here. I'm going to put the one from JuanKet.com at my website, MikeMolloy.com. In the show topic section tonight, it is a Palin rally in Des Moines. Rich says it's from today. And you can clearly hear one of the Palin supporters shout out the N-word about Obama when Palin is speaking about Obama. And you hear this freak, it's a female, scream out, he's the N-word. And Palin had to have heard it. As Rich writes, it was shouted loud enough you can hear an echo. And she stumbles when it's shouted. Then she continues. And if you look at the people behind her, you know, the dung-eating grins on their faces when they hear the N-word. Oh, my God. Does she stop and say, that'll be enough of that, or I want that person removed from the rally? Back to Press the Meat with Tom Brokaw interviewing insane McCain yesterday on the ridiculous charge the McCain camp makes that Obama is a socialist. Jesus was a socialist. They're all socialists. So Brokaw says, do you honestly think that Barack Obama would have as his advisors Warren Buffett, Paul Volcker, former chairman of the Federal Reserve under Reagan, who's widely credited with saving the economy at that time, Bob Rubin, former Treasury Secretary, and even Chris Buckley, the son of the godfather of the modern conservative movement, both endorsing his economic policies and help shaping them if they thought he was a socialist of some kind?
All I know is that Senator Obama's record is very clear.
Ah!
It's his record, not Volcker's record, not anybody else.
I'm not George Bush.
Start out in the left-hand lane of American politics has remained there. He has been judged the most liberal United States senator.
By who?
Biden's number three.
Oh.
Joe Biden is number three. Bernie Sanders is number two. And I respect that, but let's not call it anything but it is. He's voted for tax increases against tax cuts, has advocated raising capital gains tax. Another anchor, Charlie Gibson, said, why would you want to raise capital gains taxes when you know that could decrease revenue? He said it's a matter of fairness. He said to Joe the Plumber, it's, quote, spreading the wealth around.
No, he really didn't say that. It's similar stumbles, but not really. Yeah, Obama said it's a matter of fairness. Now, let us pause for a moment and understand. McCain is using that as a kneecapper. You know, that son of a bitch said it's a matter of fairness. Can you believe that? Fairness. Har, har. Fairness. Arg. It's an insult to say it's a matter of fairness in McCain's twisted world. But it's not really McCain. It's Bush with a cheek full of walnuts. That's who it is. Next, Brokaw asked McCain about his own hypocritical statements about spreading around the wealth. Again, using that oh-so-frustrating, newfangled thing called video technology that continues to just vex McCain and drive him crazy. What are you showing there? What is that on that? Is that, what? And showing clips of his contradictory statements about who should pay more taxes in America. Brokaw asked this question, and then he plays the clip. Now, I want you to hear this. Brokaw says, Senator, this is from April 11, 2004. It's Meet the Press, and this is what you had to say about wealthy Americans and taxes then.
I voted against the tax cuts because of the disproportionate amount that went to the wealthiest Americans.
And then this is what you had to say on Hardball back in 2000 to Chris Matthews.
Here's what I really believe, that when you are reach a certain level of comfort, there's nothing wrong with paying somewhat more.
That's what, listen, even the flat tax people somewhat pay more. Even you put into different different categories, wealthier people paying higher taxes. It's a different bracket. And these are different times, my friend.
But so there's this continuing use of the phrase socialism. How would you describe the $700 billion bailout that has the United States government buying shares in American banks, in effect nationalizing those banks to a degree, and even your own mortgage plan of spending $300 billion to buy bad mortgages from banks, having taxpayers who have done the responsible thing, in effect, subsidize people who've done the dumb or wrong thing?
Because we are in a financial crisis of monumental proportions.
Oh.
The role of government is to intervene when a nation is in crisis.
Oh, so socialism is okay when it's bailing out the banks and the little rat bastards who set all this up. You know, the hedge fund managers and the default swaps boys and all the people who screwed the system to the floor. It's okay, socialism then, right, John? But it's bad when it's giving money to people who need it most. Let me think. Oh, that's right. You're a Republican. You're a Republican. And did you hear the latest? The big investment companies that you and I have agreed to give $700 billion when reality it'll be closer to $1.5 trillion. They're going to give their bonuses this year. Huh? Did you hear that story? You know what they're doing? They're just giving you and me the middle finger. And McCain knows it and he loves it. Oh, spread the wealth, you bastards. What did McCain say? Here's what I really believe, that when you reach a certain level of comfort, there's nothing wrong with paying somewhat more. John. Marcia. John, that sounds like you're saying, spread the wealth, John. There's nothing wrong with paying somewhat more when you reach a certain level of... John! Oh, my God. Why is it okay then and not now? Because these are different times, my friend. It's just unbelievable. Who's going to vote for these pigs? Who? Okay, you got time for the last one? Sure. At this point, Brokaw's head is spinning. It's like from The Exorcist. He's going, "Prrr!" Is McCain in favor of taxing rich folks and big corporations or not? Is he in favor of socialism for bailing out companies and banks, or in favor of helping the taxpayers stay in their house? The contradictions are just making him real. But Brokaw soldiers on, turning to the topic of the lipstick pig from Alaska and the growing sentiment that there is trouble a-brewing between McCain and his bootylicious running mate. So Tom says, let me ask you some facts about your running mate. The Washington Post ABC News poll shows that when she came out of the convention, she had a 59% favorable rating. Now it's down to 46. And unfavorable's up to 51. And independent voters, women voters, have her favorable rating now. Among them is just 40%. Many people think that she's simply not qualified to be president, although she does have a big booty.
Because. Not qualified because.
She's not qualified because she's had a lot of exposure in the last 3 months or so of vice presidential debate, a number of interviews with people who were selected by your campaign, after all. She's had some of those interviews were quite friendly, not necessarily prosecutorial, and they have come to the conclusion, based on everything that we're seeing, that she's not qualified to be president.
She has more executive experience than Senator Biden and Senator Obama.
And a bigger booty.
She took on the governor of her own party because she had seen what she thought was corruption.
And booty.
She's been a mayor. She has 24,000 people underneath her. Her husband
and a booty.
Is a works the third shift on oil in facilities on the North Slope.
And how does that qualify her?
They have a one. She has executive experience and has given back money to the taxpayers.
And she has a booty.
She's taken Democrats as well as Republicans into her administration.
And her booty.
It sounds like I'm quote, defending her. But the fact is, she is a dynamic person
with a booty.
Executive experience, leadership, reform.
And a booty.
Is exactly what Washington needs. I'm so proud of the way she ignites the crowd.
Woo!
The way that she is
booted.
She has conducted herself is, in my view, incredibly admirable.
Yeah.
I am. Do we? Does Sarah Palin and I disagree on a specific issue? Yeah, because we're both mavericks.
And she got the booty. I don't have a booty, and neither does my skinny ass wife. Oh, you know, let me tell you something, Tom. I spent 5 years with no booty. Except them old little Vietnamese people running around with their booties. That ain't booty. Damn. So they tell me Sarah Palin, what am I going to say? No? You out your mind? She got the booty. Man, I love these beauty queens. You know, my old lady was a beauty queen one time. That's why she comes with me now to every single event. You know why? Because she knows Sarah has a booty, too. That's why.
You're not ready. How many times I say you're not ready? Watch my booty shake like a fat lady's belly. My style's so stank, I better bank you gon' smell me. Oh, you smell me. Smells like money. When I come running, wow, to keep it coming. Wow, rock while I drum drumming. Destiny got the whole world freaking something. And we killing something. Somebody better warn y'all. Free Michelle and Kelly, put that jelly on y'all. Rockin' Missy be hot like California. Won't you sing the hook, why don't you? Now here we go.
Move your body up and down. Make your booty touch the ground. I can't help but wonder why.
My vibes are vibralicious for you, babe.
Hockey mom and signed up for the PTA. I love those hockey moms. You know, they say the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull, lipstick.
Leave it alone, Malloy. Okay, almost to the end of this madness homestretch. Just two more clips. So here's the next to the last. What are McCain's thoughts on the endorsement of Barack Obama by General Colin Powell? He's okay with it because he has all these other generals and former secretaries of state behind him. If he can just remember their names. Brokaw says, I know you were disappointed when Colin Powell last week came on Press to Meet. Your reaction?
I'm disappointed in General Powell, but I'm very, very happy to know that five former secretaries of state who I admire enormously, Henry Kissinger, Jim
war
Baker,
criminal,
Larry
war criminal,
Eagleburger,
war criminal,
Al Haig,
psychopath. What's the other one?
Jim Baker.
You said that.
Henry Kissinger.
You said that.
Al Haig.
You said
Larry
that.
Eagleburger.
You said that.
And one other.
Yeah.
And over 200 retired flag generals and admirals are supporting my campaign.
Well,
I'm very proud of their support.
Senator, we opened today with a, how are you doing in Iowa? The Des Moines Register endorsed
George Shultz. George Shultz is the George, I'm sorry, I left you out to start with. George Shultz, the great, one of the great secretaries of state.
Yeah, I forgot my Aricept this morning. I'm sorry. George Shultz, that's the other one. Yeah, the Des Moines Register has endorsed George Shultz. George Shultz! Oh, you want to play it one more time? Oh, did I screw it up? Okay, play it again.
I'm disappointed in General Powell, but I'm very, very happy to know that five former secretaries of state who I admire enormously, Henry Kissinger, Jim Baker, Larry Eagleburger, Al Haig.
Al Haig.
Jim Baker, Henry Kissinger, Al Haig, Larry Eagleburger.
And
one other. And over 200 retired flag generals and admirals are supporting my campaign. I'm very proud of their support.
Senator, we opened today how you're doing in Iowa. The Des Moines Register has endorsed
George Shultz. George Shultz is the other one. George, I'm sorry, I left you out to start with. George Shultz, the great, one of the greatest secretaries of state in history.
I got my Depends on, though. But, you know, you can't remember everything. God damn it. You know, I got myself dressed this morning, had my oatmeal, and I just forgot that one. I don't know. Boom, yeah. Okay, finally tonight, Brokaw asked about the date in history 41 years ago. Think about that, Truth Seeker. 41 years ago when his plane was shot down in Vietnam. 41 years! That's like 41 shots. Barack Obama, 41 years ago, was 5 or 6 when that happened. Anyway, Brokaw begins the questions by asking McCain to just stay focused. Hang in there for just a minute. Come on, you can do it. I guess he could tell McCain was ready for nap time. Brokaw begins. We open today with the poll here in Iowa in which you're trailing by 11 points. According to our NBC Mason-Dixon poll, the Des Moines Register has endorsed Barack Obama.
The state's largest newspaper.
Shock.
Now,
shock.
Stay with me. Stay with me for a minute here.
Stay with me. Breathe.
The Arizona Republic, your largest newspaper in the state of Arizona today. We have seen the irascible McCain, the bawdy and irreverent McCain, temperamental McCain.
Yeah.
Likewise, we here in Arizona have seen the former Navy pilot and war hero evolve slowly and with lots of fits and starts into a statesman. That's the Arizona Republic today endorsing you for president.
God bless the Arizona Republic.
I am confident that you are aware of this, but our viewers probably are not. I would think, for you,
a very poignant
Sunday.
Yeah.
Because it was 41 years ago today that you were shot down on a bombing mission over Hanoi. For all the obvious reasons, that experience was a defining moment in your life. And you said it changed your attitude toward you or your country from then on, not your own man. How has this campaign changed you?
It hasn't changed me. It's made me humble and grateful and aware of the trust and faith and confidence that so many people have in me.
George Shultz!
It motivates me to continue to want to serve my country.
Yeah.
We're going to do well in this campaign.
Sure you are, my friend.
We're going to win it, and it's going to be tight, and we're going to be up late.
Yeah.
But it will be because there are so many Americans who believe that I can give them the future for themselves and their children and their grandchildren that we all aspire to.
John, you're going to have a hell of a time giving yourself a future. Come on. Somebody's grandchildren? Stop. You're going to be up late? What is that, about 7:30 for you? 7:30 tonight? Cindy tucks you in then, right? Snake eyes? Don't bite me, Cindy. It hasn't changed me. Poor Tom Brokaw. 41 shots. No, 41 years ago you were shot down. Do you remember that? God damn it, Tom. I've spent all these years trying to forget it. Why do you have to bring it up? You know, I spent 5.5 years with no booty walking around, except them little old Vietnamese, and they don't have booties. They have nothing back there. It's like when God created Vietnamese, he sliced their booties off. Are you aware of that, Tom? It hasn't changed me. It's made me humble and grateful and aware of the trust and faith and confidence. What the hell is he talking about? We're going to do well in this campaign, my friend. Whenever he goes to the my friend, that's when you know the meds are slipping. Quick, Tom. Get him off camera very quickly before he starts foaming at the mouth and starts peeing himself. Quick, Tom, my friend. We're going to win it. John, no, you're not. You really aren't. you and the lipstick pig woman are consigned to the dustbin of history. But you know what's happening here in Georgia already? Early voting. It's been going on for a couple of weeks now. It really opened up, and they're not equipped to handle it here. People waiting 6 hours, lines all over the place. And these are not people lined up to vote for the lipstick pig woman and Mr. Depends here. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Malloy here on the NOAA Radio Network. At the beginning of the program tonight, we told you about a story in the New York Times over the weekend about an email message that was sent to 75,000 Jewish voters in Pennsylvania and warning that a vote for Barack Obama could turn out to be, quote, a tragic mistake and could result in the same thing happening to Jews in Pennsylvania as happened to their, quote, ancestors who ignored the warning signs in the 30s and 40s, end quote. You know, it's one thing to attack your opponent on just about any level, but to trivialize the deaths of 6 million people, I mean, I'm sure B'nai B'rith or some ADL, somebody is going to issue a statement absolutely condemning this. Now, one of the people involved who signed this is Sandra Schultz Newman, who happens to be Jewish, and she's a former Pennsylvania Supreme Court justice. She's one who signed it. The Associated Press is now reporting that Sandra Schultz Newman said she regrets that she didn't review the final draft more carefully before it was released. She wrote in an email statement today, quote, some of the language was inappropriate and intemperate. Some of it? Here's the part. I apologize to anyone who was offended by this misguided email. This is the non-apology apology. Instead of saying, you know, Jesus, H. Christ, and Moses too, I really committed a boo-boo. I made a horrible mistake. I am sorry that I endorsed an email that warned of a second Holocaust. She doesn't say that. She says, I apologize to anyone who was offended. Well, you crazy psychopath, everyone was offended. Anyway, it was an email sent last Thursday to 75,000 Jewish voters in Pennsylvania, warning fellow Jewish voters of the danger of a second Holocaust if Obama is elected. Whew. And, of course, it was signed by the Pennsylvania Republican, according to the Times, it was signed by... It was sponsored by the Pennsylvania Republican Party's Victory 2008 Committee. Now, in today's statement, former Justice Sandra Schultz Newman said the original email was drafted, quote, by a worker for the McCain campaign, end quote. Asked by a reporter later in the day to identify the worker, Newman said she was referring to somebody named Brian Rudnick, another Jewish American, who was fired. Sandra Schultz Newman, who is Jewish, said, quote, I believe Brian was let go before it was approved. I was not involved in hiring Brian, and I'm not sure for whom he worked, end quote. A spokesman for the state Republican Party confirmed that Rudnick was employed by the state Republican Party. Rudnick has told the Associated Press that he had authorization from party officials to go ahead and send it. And a copy of the email provided by Democratic officials said, showed it, it says on it, quote, paid for by the Republican Federal Committee of Pennsylvania, Victory 2008. The signatures of former Pennsylvania Supreme Court Justice Sandra Schultz Newman and two other McCain supporters are on the message. Jesus, God. I can't believe that two prominent Jews in Pennsylvania, one a former state Supreme Court justice, would so trivialize the deaths of 6 million, the gassing and burning and slaughter of men, women, and children in order to get John McCain elected? Oh, my God. And other people stand at the Palin rallies and scream out the N-word or lynch him or kill him or assassinate him. And now you have a former Pennsylvania State Supreme Court justice putting her signature to this? Oh, my God. More than I can deal with. And it usually takes quite a bit for me to deal with, or for me to say, uncle. Barack Obama is going to cause another Holocaust. A former Pennsylvania State Supreme Court justice who is Jewish puts her name to an email that says that the election of Barack Obama is going to bring about another Holocaust. That is the clear intent of the email. Trying to link Barack Obama to Hitler? I need to stop for a second. Okay. You know, I've said before that my awareness of the Holocaust came when I read the book Treblinka. And I think I was in my either late teens or into my 20s. And prior to that, I like most Americans of my age, we didn't hear about the Holocaust in the 50s. Nobody talked about the Holocaust. Even the survivors didn't, because it was unspeakable. I realize there have been mass slaughters of other groups of people. I understand that. Don't put me in a, you know, well, what about this one? What about that one? Well, what about the Armenians? What about the Native? You know, don't. You know, the systematic building of the death camps by arguably the most advanced European nation on earth, or in Europe, I should say. In the 30s and 40s, and the systematic execution of people, either because of their religion or because of their sexual orientation or because of their nationality. I mean, this was not a crime against humanity. This was something that only beasts can do. Only subhuman beasts can do something like that. And now, an email circulates linking Barack Obama to that. I read Treblinka. I read Night. I read everything I could get my hands on. I still will read about the Holocaust. It's almost become like some kind of I hate to say this, but there's almost a pornographic tinge to it now for me. It's beyond my ability to comprehend. So I should stay away from it. But I read about this stuff, and I sit there, and I will sit there and just stare into space. I cannot get my mind around what happened in the death camps. I can't. It's just incomprehensible. I'm not talking about the political aspects. I'm not talking about the religious aspects. I'm talking about the government-ordered, systematic, deliberate murder of 6 million of one's own citizens to a great degree. Importing Jews from all over Europe specifically to murder. I mean, that's beyond belief. If you're Jewish, I don't know how you cope. If you're Gentile, maybe you don't pay any attention to it. But to me, so when I see these comparisons, to state that Barack Obama, by implication, would somehow invoke a second Holocaust. And then I realized that two or three of the people who signed off on this are Jewish. And it only went to 75 Jewish voters in Pennsylvania. It turns my stomach, takes my breath away, and it makes me have to stop my little toy radio program for a few seconds so I can catch my breath. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
The old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away. But I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend. Everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all. My empire of dirt. I will let you down.
Congress, thanks but no thanks on that bridge to nowhere.
It's about 23 past the hour from Prairie 2, our economic correspondent. Prairie 2 writes, hey, Mike, the Dow dropped only 200 points today, and compared to foreign markets, that was pretty tame. But Wall Street is basing its irrational exuberance on the sudden strength of the dollar against other currencies. But it's not that currency traders really want dollars, it's that straws look good to a drowning man. It's not a little ironic that the dollar is so strong after it was the failure of U.S. economy that has brought everybody else down. But nothing about the U.S. economy has improved. Housing sales are up, but only because of foreclosure auctions. Total mortgage balances now exceed the total value of all the houses mortgaged. In other words, the average mortgage is now upside down. When the speculators who have bought these houses at auction discover that they can't flip them because next week's auctions will sell even cheaper, the price panic will spread. Buyers will flee and forget about getting a loan. The already sagging economy will accelerate its collapse. More registered Republicans will want to become socialists. Comrade conservative has a certain unsettling ring to it. They always want to bring goose-stepping and torches to the party. Yeah. I saw this guy's picture. I guess it's a guy. This freakish thing. Daniel Cowart, age 20. And his friend Paul Schlesselman. Jawohl, it is Schlesselman. The two 18, being held without bond, agent seized from a rifle, shot of shotgun, three pistols. Authorities say these two punks were prepared to break into a gun shop to steal more, and then they were going to target an unnamed but predominantly African-American high school and kill people, and then they were going to assassinate Barack Obama. And then they were going to decapitate 102 black people. If you see their pictures, the picture of this Cowart thing, well, you'll see it. Just go to MikeMalloy.com. I don't know if we've posted the links yet, but they'll be up sometime this evening, and you see a picture of this thing. Oh, well. And JT writes in, with their latest episode with the white girl who was attacked by a big black man, well, that turned out to be a hoax and failed to get any traction. Now they have to move on to something else to promote division between white and black ignorance in this country. JT writes, these extreme right-wing racists will try anything now that their great unsinkable Titanic is going down faster than they can load up the lifeboats. This is also used to promote violence against Obama across the country in hopes that some lunatic would grab hold of this idea and try something. Yeah, thanks, JT. That's what we talked about last week. I think it was last week. The absolute subtext now and the full intent of the McCain-Palin campaign is to get someone to assassinate Barack Obama. This is the driving force in the McCain-Palin. And I said this last week, Palin, because that will somehow fulfill God's directive to begin the slaughter, which will please Jesus and make him come sliding down the pile of corpses or something. I don't know what these sick bastards believe, but it's something like that. And McCain, well, because McCain's McCain. You know, this is a guy who got his jollies butchering civilians 20,000 feet below him.
Skin color blinded, conspiracy minded, protesters of corporate greed. We who have nothing, and most likely will till we all end up locked up in jail by conservative Christians. Right-wing Republican, straight white American man. Diamonds and...
That luxury jet was over the top. I put it on eBay.
Don't you dare to try to stop us.
Put it on eBay, huh? All right, now, earlier this evening, if you were listening, you heard us play Barbara West of Channel 9, WFTV in Orlando, who I believe is a health reporter, but for some reason she was anchoring this particular newscast, and she interviewed Joe Biden. And some of the questions were like this. Aren't you embarrassed by the blatant attempts to register phony voters by Acorn? Regarding Senator Obama's statement about spreading the wealth around, isn't Senator Obama's statement a potentially crushing political blunder? How is Senator Obama not being a Marxist if he intends to spread the wealth around? Are you forewarning the American people that something might not get done and that America's days as the world leader might be over? What do you say to the people who are concerned that Barack Obama will want to turn America into a socialist country? Those are the kinds, and this woman's husband is a media operative for the Republicans in Central Florida. I think most of us can agree that when they give the world an enema, they're going to stick the tube in Orlando. But there she sat. We have the video up at, or Will, at my website. We're also going to put this one up, because about a week, 10 days before she interviewed Biden, she interviewed McCain. Let's listen to the, difference in the way she presents questions to McCain. Here we go. Well, I think we're going to. Well, we might. Well, maybe we will. Are we having technical difficulties? I thought that only happened on the big important programs. All right. Well, we'll play it for you in a second as soon as we can figure out what kind of a ghost is in the machine here. But what is astonishing is that, not really astonishing, it's to be expected. Barbara West of Eyewitness News, her husband, who obviously got the questions, put them together. Oh, I'm sure she sat at her little Selectric and wrote this. I doubt if a woman knows how to use a computer. But they're strictly from the Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, GOP talking points memo. This is what you are supposed to say when you interview anybody from Barack Obama's campaign. And this is what you are supposed to say when you interview anyone from the McCain campaign. And obviously, Barbara West is auditioning for to try to get herself on Fixed News, as Keith Olbermann calls it. I call it just a nest of cheap-ass whores, no offense to sex workers, who are working for this incredibly degenerate Republican Party. A party that has gone right in the tank. Do we have it now? Okay, let's try it again. Here she is interviewing John McCain. Okay. Take it out behind the house. Get my 12-gauge, Kathy. It's right over there in the corner. Put a couple of shells in the 12. Get the over and under. Get the Remington. All right. You got it? All right, take it out and back and blow the son of a bitch into a million pieces. I don't mess around. No, get the shotgun, not the 30-30. Get the shotgun. Right. Okay, now go kill it. Kathy loves doing that. Oh, all right.
Senator McCain, thank you for joining us. In dozens of states, the group Acorn is accused of filing thousands of bogus voter registrations. In Central Florida, they even tried to register a Mickey Mouse.
No!
And one person here in Orange County was registered 21 times.
No!
Now, Senator Obama served Acorn and its associates as an attorney on voter registration and on cases involving subprime mortgages, which led to our current financial crisis.
Oh, really?
Why haven't you gone after him on these serious issues of voter registration fraud and the mortgage crisis?
Do you hear that?
Well, we have to investigate these not only allegations, there's evidence that there's been voter fraud going on in the battleground states primarily. Even, I'm told, in the state of Nevada, they've had shut down their offices. The point is that we're tampering with... Acorn is tampering with America's most precious right.
Yeah.
There has to be a full and complete investigation, but it has to be immediate, because we can't afford it.
Barbara,
I don't have to tell you.
Yeah.
And several thousand votes could obviously tip the entire huge state.
Another question. Let's do another question.
Senator
Come on.
Obama has had relations with Acorn in the past. Those
relations
with
billionaires
and
Come
others.
Come on. Let's go back to Barbara.
Needs to be fully. Americans need to be fully informed.
Okay.
Now, recently, Representative John Lewis said you and Governor Palin are sowing the seeds of hatred and division, harkening back to the hatred and violence of the civil rights movement. How do you respond to that?
Yeah. How do you respond to that?
Barbara, I've been a great admirer of Congressman Lewis.
But he's nuts now, right?
About him.
Yeah.
It's the most outrageous and disgraceful thing that I've had that I've seen in American politics.
Really?
To connect Sarah Palin and I to a church bombing some way in the same breath that killed four young children is outrageous.
How many children did you kill, John?
In Congressman Lewis, but I'm very most disappointed in Senator Obama, who has refused to personally repudiate that.
Yeah.
You know that there have been statements made which I've had to repudiate by certain GOP operatives or apparatchiks. Congressman Lewis is one of the most respected and admired men in America.
That's a commie word!
Senator Obama should immediately repudiate these statements. And, again, this kind of thing I have not seen before in my political life.
Oh, poor baby.
It's unacceptable.
Really?
Do you feel that the Democrats are trying to paint you into a box? In other words, making it impossible
for you to
criticize Senator Obama?
Do you mix your metaphors, you bubble-headed jerk?
They tried to define this the parameters of this campaign for a long time, but
they're not you into a box.
In the case of Mr. Ayers, I don't care much about an old unrepentant terrorist. I do care about
like
Obama's
you.
Candor.
All right, that's enough. That's stop it. Stop. I can't take any more of this. Go ahead, stop
very
it.
Very different.
Again. Stop it. An old unrepentant terrorist. You know, when McCain talks about how dare Barack Obama, or not Barack Obama, John Lewis, link us to the bombing of the church in Birmingham and the death of three little girls. I just want to vomit up blood all over the TV set, because John McCain is probably responsible for the deaths of hundreds of sub-teen girls, little kids wandering around the streets of Haiphong or Hanoi or wherever McCain used to take his load of death and destruction. Not to dump on soldiers, but to hit civilian targets, to hit cities, to hit targets essential to the well-being of the North Vietnamese people. It was kind of like the firebombing of Dresden, only this wasn't the Nazis we were bombing. These were people who had done nothing, who had been our allies during World War II, but who had wanted their freedom. So for John McCain to even think about criticizing what John Lewis has more moral authority in his little finger than John McCain has in his entire twisted body and mind. McCain is truly a terrorist. He has murdered people by dropping bombs on them, incendiary explosives, burning people alive who did nothing to the great United States of America except act as our allies against the terrible Japanese in World War II. So for John McCain to sit there, this twisted old murderous son of a bitch, this sour old man who must have dreams of absolute terror every time he goes to sleep, and not about the little brown people that tortured him, but about the people that he slaughtered, the people that he murdered, the people he dropped bombs on. And then he has, he's just like the Birmingham bomber, only kick it up about, 200-300 degrees. Not that there's any degrees in how many children you kill. Once you have decided, once you've made the commitment that you're going to kill children or civilians, then you become a demon. You are just strictly a demon, right out of the collective consciousness of the worst that the human race has to dump on the rest of creation. It's awful. I cannot get my mind around some of the stuff that's going on in this campaign. I've never seen anything like this. This is a direct result of Lee Atwater and Karl Rove, both of whom were Republican hitmen. I'm not ashamed to admit this. I wish for the same confession from Karl Rove that came out of Lee Atwater's mouth under the same circumstances, and the same whining, begging for forgiveness when Lee Atwater realized, being the good Christian that he was, that he was about to stand before his twisted, sick God and be judged. And I just hope that Karl Rove goes through exactly the same thing that Lee Atwater went through.
They can run and hide. Pissed us off, so we voted for Republicans, a form of suicide.
Republicans suck! Suck, 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 suck.
Respect, Charlie.
The Bush. Well, what do you interpret it to be?
His worldview.
Oh Lord! I feel like I need a shower. What a scummy bunch of voices on the program tonight. From this Barbara West freak to McCain to. Well, it seemed like a lot of voices anyway, a lot of scummy voices. Sorry we didn't get to any phone calls tonight, but we'll make up for it tomorrow night. Tomorrow night will be as many calls as we possibly can. One of the topics I wanted to hit on tonight, we'll get to it tomorrow, is the U.S. helicopters that decided to conduct a raid in Syria yesterday. They landed inside Syria, discharged special forces who killed 8 people, according to the government there. Washington admitted it had targeted what it calls foreign fighters. Syria warned that it held the U.S., quote, wholly responsible for this act of aggression and all its repercussions, end quote. This is madness, isn't it? This is absolute madness. We, under Bush, there's no restrictions. Why don't we go into, there are a lot of terrorists who, according to the Bush administration, who live in Germany. A lot of terrorists who live in Great Britain. A lot of terrorists who live in Paris. Why don't we send in special forces there and start killing people? That's probably on the agenda. But what do we have now? Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon. The whole slash across the Middle East that the Bush crime family feels absolutely no restraints when it concerns just going in and killing people. What would happen? A lot of people see the United States as a terrorist nation because of our bloody history, what we've done to other countries. If you're a right-winger, turn off your radio, go the hell away. You don't know what I'm talking about. What would happen if one of these countries decided that they'd had enough and sent some of their special forces here to kill some of our, strategic planners in, of course, they're all well-protected in our military. What would happen? Well, if they got away with it and escaped, probably the next day we would drop a couple of nukes on that particular country. But the Bush, Cheney, whoever's in charge here, I don't even know anymore. But they have decided that they can act with impunity if they choose to invade other countries and kill people under the umbrella of, we're fighting terrorism. Well, these are terrorists. And if children or men or women or civilians or gas station attendants or dairy farmers or whoever happened to be killed in the process, well, you know, we're sorry. We never try to target civilians unless you're John McCain. We never try to target civilians. According to The Guardian of the UK, the attack threatened to unleash a new wave of anti-American feeling across the Middle East at a time when the Syrian president, Bashar al-Assad, already being courted by Europe, the rest of the world is trying to make peace. And here comes this crazy psycho son of a bitch who's still in control in the White House ordering a murder in another country. News of the attack spread across the Arab world last night, suggesting it'll have wide resonance. Yeah, I would think so. Eyewitness accounts said 8 U.S. soldiers landed in 2 helicopters and that the dead were building workers. A senior Syrian source quoted by the official SANA news agency said the helicopters violated Syrian airspace, described the target as a, quote, civilian building under construction, end quote. In Washington, an unnamed military official told the AP that the raid had targeted elements of a, quote, foreign fighter logistics network, end quote, and that due to Syrian inaction, the U.S. was, quote, taking matters into our own hands, end quote. My God. A political analyst in Syria told Al Jazeera that the U.S. appeared to have mistaken building workers for infiltrators. The analyst said, quote, it will raise questions as to why this is happening toward the end of the current U.S. administration, end quote. And just like last year, the then U.S. commander, General David Petraeus, praised Syria's cooperation in reducing violence in Iraq. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Possibly what they're trying to do is to force different countries in the Middle East to react violently, and that will give the Bush-Cheney crime organization the cover they need to declare martial law, suspend the election, and continue with this madness until the United States is nothing but a smoldering, dead, decaying society, thanks to Bush. I can't think of any other reason. Bush and Cheney and the rest of them are not patriots. They don't give a goddamn what happens to the United States. They couldn't care less, or its reputation, or its monetary system, or its health, or its employment picture. None of it. None of it matters to these people. I mean, to disregard the restraints of international law on this scale over and over and over again. Oh, well. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Do take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.